Blog Talk Radio.
Radio, and this is Talk to Me, hosted by the one and the only, the most fantabulous, loveliest, and wealthiest sister in the world. That's right. My name is Minister Cherie Humphrey, and I am the founder and president of Diamonds in the Rough, Finding the Spirit in Me, and the producer of A Star is Born Talent Events and Talk to Me Media. Our motto is Standing Firm on the Promises of God. I want to thank everybody for tuning back in. This is the 12th season of this show. So I want to thank you for your support and all those who have been listening. And if you have a friend and you think that they might enjoy this show, please share the link. The show is, you can listen to it at any time after it's over. It doesn't have to be live, but you can always go back and listen in. If you miss something or you know something that you want to hear, you can always do that. Just click on one of the icons on the show page. Today we're talking about the funniest or the worst fight that you ever had. Now, I know there's some people out here that say, oh, well, I've never been in a fight. Well, we have been in some type of fight if you have been living long enough. It may not be physical, but you've been in a fight. So we're going to be talking a little bit about that. We're going to get to know my guests. I have two very handsome chocolate brothers that are supposed to be coming on tonight, both of them comedians, and they're going to share who they are, what they do, and what they have coming up. I just want to start with letting people know a little bit about this show in case you've never heard it before. This show, I've interviewed over 400 guests, over 200 episodes, some I've deleted, but for the most part, it's roughly around 200, and well over 10,000 through this particular site. But you can reach it also through my website, which is on the show page. We are now in Japan, and U.S., of course, Canada, Germany, Indonesia, Cameroon, Philippines, India, Ireland, Sweden, South Korea, and Malaysia. So I want to say thank you for all those who are listening in other places, other countries. Thank you. I hope that you are enjoying it. Share the link so that somebody else might be able to listen in as well. I don't know how it's done. I'm assuming is being translated. I don't know. But in any case, if you'd like to support this show, please, monetarily, please, you can send donations to the Cash App or the PayPal listed on the show page. You can order my books, my artwork. You know, you could book me. You could book a radio show, book me for spoken word, doing comedy and singing, et cetera, et cetera. So in any case, my information is up there if you'd like to reach out to me for any of those particular things. So I'm going to move on ahead because I definitely want to do the scriptures. But first, let me give shout out for everybody born in June that I can remember that I know. Of course, my friend of 38 years, Tanya Simmons, a shipper down in North Carolina, who just turned 52. God bless you. I just talked to her yesterday. You know, it's something when you can say you've been friends with someone for more, you know, most of your life. That is very rare. So I hope that we continue to be friends and to grow with each other and, of course, not hold each other back in any type of way. Other people I'd like to give shout-outs to is my friend Kim Rabsat that's out there in New York, Kim Turnbull, who's in New Haven, Phoenix Fire, just went to her birthday party that was down at Thelma's this past Wednesday. Tish, Stacy, Big Red, just was at their birthday party about a week ago up in Ansonia. I'd like to give a shout-out to my goddaughter, who is a grown woman now with her own children, lovely Vanderpool, and my friend's boyfriend, D.C., and any of the people who are Geminis or born in the month of June. So I want to just say happy birthday to you all. God bless you. I want to send condolences to anyone who has lost a loved one since the last broadcast. May God lift your spirits and God bless you and your family. So let me get into the scriptures. Bear with my voice. The summer is really hard on my voice. To get into a little bit of scriptures, I am going to read some of the names of people who have been on this show and graced this show, celebrities and non-celebrities. But first, let me get into the scriptures before the first caller calls in. Proverbs 23:13. But I'm only going to read verse 3. Avoiding a fight is a mark of honor. Only fools insist on quarreling. So we've all been in a situation where we've quarreled. And I know I've been in enough situations where I've had to fight. And physically and spiritually. So it says avoiding a fight is a mark of honor. So as we get older, we know that, you know, we don't have to physically fight, although we might want to sometimes, especially when you've come from a background like mine. You know, when you've grown up around violence, you're in an environment that's ghetto and hood. You ain't got no choice sometimes but to defend yourself. Let's go over some more scriptures. Matthew 18:15. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. And so basically that's what it's saying. You know, if you got something, beef with somebody, you know what I mean? You don't have to tell the world about it. You know what I'm saying? You try to go to that person to resolve it if you possibly can. You know, and I would say in the situation nowadays, we don't want to be fighting out here in the street like we little kids. We grown. You know, you got all kind of diseases and stuff. I mean, back in the day, if push came to shove, I would bite you anywhere. If I felt like I needed to bite, I would bite. If I felt like I needed to poke your eye out, that's what I'm going to try to do. But I am grown now. What do I look like running around here physically fighting somebody? But we try to go and take it to God in prayer. See, you know, if the situation can be resolved in any type of way, you know, and hopefully we don't have to resort to doing any of that, because people got diseases nowadays. You know, you don't know what's what. COVID's out here. You know, you got to think. You know what I mean? Romans 12:17, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. And now this is not easy things to do. You got to take practice at stuff, especially when you first are coming into an understanding of what is better, a better thing for you to do for your life and spiritually. You know, evil for evil, eye for an eye. That, I believe that's in the Old Testament. We live by grace. You know, of course, we want to abide under, you know, certain things that we should and should not do, but you should not do evil for evil. You know what I'm saying? I have been slapped in the face, punched in the face, been knocked out unconscious trying to save somebody who was being abused by her boyfriend, just beating her up bad, almost killed myself in the process. So I was young then. So you got to use wisdom. You got to use wisdom. Call the police. Call who you need to call to put an end to a situation. Proverbs 28:25, he that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife, but he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat. Now, we know we ain't talking about fat as in pounds. We're talking about spiritually well, spiritually full. Things that make you better, things that make you grow. That's what it's talking about in the sense of that. So pride come before the fall, you know. So we're not talking about, oh, I'm proud of my accomplishment, boom, boom, boom. No, we're talking about pride where your nose is stuck up and you put down everybody else because you think you're all of that and nobody is good but you. That's the type of pride we're talking about here. So I'm going to stop right there. I might read one more during the break, but I do see that my first caller has called in, so I'm going to ask him to be patient for like a minute and a half, and I'm going to play one of King the Barber's songs that he sent me to play, and I told him that I would play it on this show. So I'm going to play Don't Need Them, and I'm going to play just a little bit of that and come back to our first guest.
We see one of our family members is in need, we should be able to help them. You know, that's how family is supposed to be.
Cousin to death, count every second. Wasted time, lose money and connections. Get wealth for the future while we in the present. Priority first, then I come second. Break a family curse so we can earn sections. Ride or die for my pride, yeah, Lord.
We don't need them, we got Jesus, and he's always on my mind. We don't need them, we got Jesus, and he's always on my mind. We don't need them, we got Jesus, and he's always on my mind. We don't need them, we don't need them, we don't need them, we don't need them.
I was raised off of love, you raised off of hate, hate, hate. While I top of mind, you wanted to break. You don't need validation, just learn your place. Time is of the essence.
Alrighty, there you have it. That was Don't Need 'Em by King the Barber, a.k.a. King Mafioso, out of Norwalk, Connecticut. He was on our show, I think it was last week or the week before the last. Can't quite remember. But shout-outs to him. I'm going to click my first caller in. Hello?
What's up?
Hey, what's going on?
What's happening?
Nothing. Easy Taylor. You know, say hello to everybody.
What's happening, people? What's happening?
Everybody,
what's happening?
This is Easy Taylor. I've been knowing this man for a long, long time and never met him in person. Ain't that crazy, y'all? But tell us a little bit about who you are, Easy.
What's happening? I'm Easy Taylor from Father Panic University, Bridgeport, Connecticut. I'm an entrepreneur. You know what I'm saying? I'm a comedian. I'm another craftsman. I'm a politician when necessary. You know what I'm saying?
All right.
But I do a lot out there. You know what I mean?
Yes, but, absolutely.
I'm in Bridgeport for the next, like, 90 days. I come back to Bridgeport to do a few things. I have a belt program called Easy Pull Up and Tighten Up. And what I do is educate the young men and women on what it means to wear your pants below your waist. And with the Board of Education of Bridgeport will allow me to do some time with coming in and show the kids how to make a leather belt and also
right.
show them presentation and respect. Because a lot
right.
of kids don't know nothing about that no more. They're losing presentation and respect. Young men are losing respect for the women, which they need the respect for the women because they have mothers as well. And if you can respect
That's
a
right.
young lady out there, remember that your mother was a young lady as well. And you don't want nobody talking no shit to your mama. You know what I mean?
That's
so
right.
you want to make sure you respect all young ladies. Keep your hands off these young ladies. I don't like these young men's ways of beating up on the women. I don't like that. I'm against it. I got three daughters myself. And it's one
Absolutely.
Thing I tell all the guys. Don't put your damn hands on my daughters. And I say that
right.
out of respect. I don't get in my kids' business. My daughter, I have a daughter that's married. You know what I mean? Three kids.
Okay.
Everything.
Right.
You know what I mean? I don't
wow.
ever get in none
wow.
of my kids' business. Only thing I ask of a man, don't put your hands on mine. Because
that's
I'm not
right.
coming to
That's
that.
Right. Now, when you was little, Easy, did your mom instill those values in you? Because I know when I was young, boys was not supposed to fight girls, even though it happened, but it didn't happen a lot. Not like nowadays.
Yeah, well, back then, we was taught not to hit women, period. But if a woman hit you, hit her ass back. You know what I mean? You know,
right.
I grew up like Forrest Gump. So, you
right.
know, my mother refused for us to hit women. But one time I got my ass whipped by a girl. My mother said, look, okay, we're not going to have this. Because the teacher brought me home. He said he wouldn't hit the girl back. He wouldn't hit the girl because you said you would whoop him. This girl beat the hell out your son. You know what I'm saying? And he let her
wow.
After that, my mother said, keep your hands to yourself. You know what I mean? Respect
yeah.
comes in all ways. Respect comes when you first born. Your mother teaches
right.
you right from wrong and wrong from right. You understand
right.
what I'm saying? So
yes.
my mother said,
yes.
keep your hands to yourself. If you hit me, damn it, I'm going to hit you back. You know what I mean?
Right.
But women, keep your hands to yourself. You don't want nobody going up against your knot. And a lot of women nowadays think they can whoop a man ass. So, you know, some just got to be proved that they're wrong. But some women can fight. My thing is
right.
this, keep your hands to yourself. That's what
yes. If everybody kept their hands to themselves, we'd be fine. But, you know,
yeah.
what shocked me, Easy, is when I was teaching in the school system, boys did not hesitate. I mean, it was like they would run up on a girl just, bam, right in the face. And it was like cool. It was like celebrated. And then people wouldn't stop the fight. They would start recording. It's a whole different mindset nowadays.
Yeah, because see, when we was growing up, though, we didn't believe in all. There was no video games. There was no Ataris when we was growing. Atari came when we
right.
just was graduating. So, and when we were younger, we had summer job. There was always something to do for the kids. Now you allow the kids to say no, they don't want to go to school. Oh, they can negotiate going to school. There was no negotiating when the kids were going to school. There was no negotiating when you went to school. You respect the teacher. Oh, the teacher don't like me. My mother said, I don't like your ass neither right now. You understand what I'm saying? And for real, my mother had to come to the school. That was embarrassment to her. So she got beat
the hell out of
me in the school, and you gonna stay in school. And everybody laughing at you got the ass. You got the ass. You know what I mean? So it was certain. It was certain embarrassing moments in school that you did that you didn't ever do no more because you knew the consequences. Nowadays, you can tell the teacher to kiss your ass and ain't no consequences. I don't believe that. Yeah, you know I mean?
Right.
There was one of
right.
We used to get our ass whooped in school with paddles. But now, you know, you can't touch the kid. You can't. You got to negotiate with the kid after he calling you all kind of MFs and bitches. And it's
exactly.
And
it's
I don't
not.
Even,
it
even
really isn't.
Ain't no children. We didn't negotiate with our parents. If your mother told you wash the dishes, take your stinking ass and wash the dishes. It wasn't I didn't feel like it or when I get ready to. Then my mother beat that
and,
ass. It was all boys.
And exactly. You look, and you better think twice. My mother will sucker punch you soon as you forget about what happened. That's when you're going to get socked right in the side of your face. I mean, she was no joke.
When you forget. When you can take the discipline out your house, if you take discipline out the house where it first started from, in your house, you took that out your house. Now there's no discipline. Where you think your respect gonna go? Out the house.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So my mother said, spoke when spoken to, seen when seen. When we was growing up, if our parents had company, you were seen and not heard. You
right.
In your room. And your mother and them party like rock stars. You better go
exactly.
There wasn't no sitting at the table listening to the conversation. That way it wasn't like that no more.
Exactly. Exactly. You better not butt in.
Hey, you got to buy your son a pair of dance sneakers from the past in class. My son will be feastless.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm bargaining with my kids. You need bargaining with your son. And then if they got an A on their report for them, are they supposed to? They're going to need it, not me. I already got my GED. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
I got my GED. You better get you.
For real.
I know. I'm just saying, though.
You know, and what I don't understand, I mean, I don't mind. People love their children. They do what they do. I'm not knocking you for celebrating your child. But if you going all out for a daycare celebration, what do you think these kids going to expect when they get to middle school or even high school? You know, I mean,
know
it's like, it don't make no sense. Yeah, this is what you're supposed to do.
You're supposed to get that A in school.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then nowadays, kids don't even know how to write cursive. They printing their name on applications on check. Thank God for direct deposit. If you had to write your name in cursive, your check wouldn't be cashed.
It sure wouldn't.
Yeah, I mean, and then everything is on the phone. Your whole life is on the
phone. Everything.
Your whole life.
Everything.
So,
and, you know,
when we was growing up, we went to the bank and we filled out the form. You know what I mean? And
right,
tell you how much
you
want, and then how much is left. You did all that yourself and then you give it to the teller. Now, everything is done. A lot of the kids are getting cheated out of through training. You want to take a shortcut through basic training.
Basic.
And you need those basic little instincts. You know what I mean?
Easy. I was teaching high school once, and somebody came over to me and said, we looked for jobs yesterday. All of us, we went down to the mall. So I was like, real, for real, what happened? So she said, one of us went into the store, and we asked the guy for an application. He didn't want to give us one. And I said, why? What did you say? And they said, we was like, nigga, give me an application. I'm like, to the manager? I'm like, no wonder you didn't get no application. I mean, it's not even common sense. I mean, you know, just not to do that. I mean, but common sense then went out the door. So It's just beyond me.
And you just don't know. You just don't know. And what's happening here now with the young men and women, they don't want to know. They already know. You're so smart, you're dumb as hell. And you can't tell them.
Right.
And everything is argumental. So what you do is you let them dig the hole that they prepare themselves to get in. And when they really realize how deep they got themselves in this, then they'll start praying and looking for this help that they need. And if they ain't too late, they may get it. But some may not get it. Because death has no discrimination. What the young generation needs to know is God said, I'll let you know when and how you came, but I'm not going to let you know when and how you leave. Death has no discrimination.
The wages of sin is death.
That means if you always doing bad upon people, disrespecting your parents, always doing nothing of good, expect a shortcut in your life.
Right.
Expect
absolutely
that shortcut in your life. Don't expect God to show you no favor because you reap what you sow.
Right.
Even
that's
swap
true.
Ain't no swindle.
That's true.
Easy.
I don't mean to cut you off because, you know, we don't have that much time. But I want to ask you, because our topic is the funniest fight or the worst fight. Can you go back in the day and remember one of your fights? Like, was it what happened?
Fight. Well, I was always like chasing Jason when I was young because I had the special shoes on like Forrest Gump. So I always kept two 007s in my pocket. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So when it came to fighting, I was the type of brother, I'm going to get a rock, bust in your head, and keep it moving. I'm just running. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Hit and run.
Right.
And shut up. You know what I mean? So back in the day, when we did used to have to fight, you had to hit the wood chip off my shoulder. That meant my mother.
Yes.
You need a reason to have the fight. You really never had no fight growing up. And then we was friends after that. You know what I mean?
Usually your enemy became your friend. So true.
Definitely. and I lived in the project. You know what I mean? So I never was really a bad guy. I was like Michael Jackson growing up. I didn't really have that many fights. I cut a lot of people up. There's really no fight.
Uh-huh.
I won the fight immediately because I was 007. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And you got to keep your special shoes on and two big-ass knives chasing you. Don't look like a good thing. You know what I'm saying? I really never had none of those. You know what I'm saying, Cuz?
Yeah.
It's just like this Will. Like if Will Smith would have slapped me on stage, I would have cut Will Smith ass up. Because everybody knows I got some 2 seconds in my pocket.
That right there, that was definitely the Holy Ghost or claim over Chris Rock. Wasn't it Chris Rock? I can't even remember. Oh my goodness.
In that order, I would have been screaming, Jesus, look at that.
Okay,
been,
for real.
What? That brother did something I don't think I would have been done with comedy and everything because they definitely giving Will Smith staples and stitches. You hear me? They would have called Will staples and stitches when I got through his ass. That man would have been called staples and stitches.
Okay.
What's your last name? Staples and stitches.
Oh my goodness.
Will Smith got away this time. He smacked the right person.
He sure did.
I think Chris Rock is Muslim, Jehovah Witness, and Baptist. You know what I'm saying? For real.
He was so stunned that he was in shock, you know, traumatized, where he was paralyzed. I don't know.
You hear me? As you the MC of the show.
Right.
You hear me? I would have cut I'll cut anybody that's run up on that stage trying to hurt me. It don't discriminate women. I don't care. I don't cut a dime.
Yes.
You're not get things
okay.
to beat in I'll cut the dice.
Look,
yes, I did.
I can remember way back in the day, I had to be like 7 years old. I hated fighting. But people always picked on me for it, for whatever reason. Oh, her mama cooked dinner for her. Her hair done. She clean. She got on nice clothes. She got toys. Let's beat her up. So I had no choice but to learn how to defend myself. My mother said, if somebody hit you, hit them back. If somebody try to do something, pick up a brick, and you knock them beside the head. I was standing there paralyzed after getting off the bus, this crazy girl. I thought she was nuts. She picked up a brick and attempted to throw it. So in my mind, I was like, this brick is going to miss me. As soon as it missed me, I'm going to pick this brick up, and I'm going to run over there and crack her upside her head. But before I could even do that, my stepfather saw it and came running down the street. And when they saw him running, everybody dispersed. But I got balled out for just standing there. Waiting.
Wow.
You know what I mean? I had a plan, but
you still can't fight. It's kind of like you still can't fight either. You know what I mean? So you
okay. You stupid.
My name ain't never been fighting.
But it, no.
It
made me mean. It made me hateful. It made me start being a bully. I was beating people up for no reason because I had been bullied myself so much.
Well,
what
you
do
you know,
think about that?
About me. I mean, I think I'm glad you started fighting, but me, nobody knew. They knew not to hit me because they know my name is PC.
Okay.
I'm telling the police on you. Oh, bitch, girl, you hit me, I'm telling the police on you. You'll
okay.
be locked up before you know you're going to be on probation or something. I guarantee.
Okay.
And I ain't going to be late for court. I ain't going to be late for court. I'm going to put
yeah.
on the ugliest thing I can for court. Go to
right.
Court. They know me.
Okay.
My name is Easy PC Taylor. Easy Preston.
Okay.
In that order. I'm going to lock you up, baby. Take me.
Okay.
What?
I know that's right. But it's 7:02 right now. We don't got that much time before the break. And my next caller calls in. So please tell us. You know, I love what you're doing with the young men because I think that is necessary. And in this day and age, I think it's mandatory that things turn around. And so I commend you on that. Far as your comedy or anything, you have any events coming up, you know, in that order?
Right.
How can somebody get in touch with you?
I'm getting ready to put together something for the end of the summer, a back-to-school comedy show. Also, we're going to be cutting hair, giving away free food, cheeseburgers, hamburgers, fish, and haircuts. It's going to be at the end of the month of August.
Okay.
So I'll definitely keep you posted on that, as well as
yes.
if any young ladies out there need haircuts, I am a master barber. I cut hair 7 days a week on Logan Street and Stratford Avenue on the corner. If you have handicapped children that access to wheelchairs, if you can get them to me, we can cut their hair outside. And I will cut their hair outside for free for you. Easy Taylor, 203-540-6704. For all the guys and women that's on wheelchairs that need haircuts for free, give a call to Easy Taylor. I got you.
All right. Wonderful. Thank you so much for calling in. I appreciate your time. And we'll definitely be talking and seeing each other again. All right. God bless.
Peace and blessings. All right.
All right. Bye-bye. There you have it. That was comedian Easy Taylor. He's more than just a comedian. He is actually a community activist doing things with the community, with the young men, which is definitely commendable and necessary, especially to have a man leading that and teaching these young guys that having your butt out, your drawers showing, your trunk showing is not cute, and it's not something that needs to keep continuing. That is something that must change because it sends a whole bunch of mixed messages, number one. And it's just not, it don't look good. I don't know I don't know what woman likes that. But in any case, let me move on. I'm going to play another song, and then I'm going to come back with a couple of announcements because I see that my second caller has called in. So I'm going to play a little bit of Every Day by Darwin Hobbs. To Talk to Me Radio. This is Cherie Humphrey, and I am just going to really quickly go through a few names that I might not have gone through the last time that I had the show, of people who have graced this show. Cool Mike Ski, Wasan Jackson, Craig Kelly, A Plus Hollywood, Tony Bird, King the Barber, Jonathan Du Bois Jr. and Sr., Arne Du Bois, Ken Mathis, Jeanette Green Washington, Pastor Joseph Green, Avis Daniels, Andrea Daniels, my mother and my sister, Charles, Sebastian Tribby, Alao Hassan Jones, LaVon Briggs, Don Nod Nottingham of the Stylistics, Midnight, Deborah Williams, Coffee Goring, Jake Trini Goring, Ricky Allen John, Ms. Conduct, Jay the Comedian, Phoenix Fire, Omar Wilson, Tiffany Tazelle, Kiki West, Rashawn Langley, A. Curtis Farrow, my former producer of the McDonald's Gospel Fest, Darren Cookie Moore, Judah Seeley, Keisha Rainey, Riff, Janice Dempsey, FSW, Gerald Kelly, Jay Alexander, Capone, Drew Frazier, J.P. Justice, Carissa Dow, who's a violinist, J. Powie Bell, Hope Flood, Mika Jean, Jonathan Gates, Trina Samore Bowers, Lauren G., Sheila McCoy, author M.L. Brooks, Odelia, Felicia Cunningham, Lou Humphrey of BSE Recordings, my cousin, Kent Barrett of WNHU, Jerry Green of WYBC, Rasheem Dixon of WYBC, Steve Wallace, Sierra Clark, Songbird, Dave Farrell, Travis Sims, Jason V. Watts, Dwight Lamar, Herb Boyd Jr., Tyrone Dunmore, Candace Rena, Bobby Ramos, John Lawson, Matthew Kirkwood, Big T, Lachey Nicole, Tamar, Jerome Pierre, Greg Hill of the Delphonics, my former manager, Robbie Jenkins, and there's a whole lot more, but I'm going to stop right there. I am going to read the bio of my next caller. His name is John Cleveland Hinton. He's from Hartford, Connecticut. He's the first comic from Connecticut to do BET Comic View and back-to-back seasons of 1998 and 1999. He's the national finalist of Sierra Miss Funniest Comic Competition. He performs at clubs, colleges, and you can catch him from time to time. I believe this is Instagram, but I'm going to ask him when I put him in. The Hartford Funny Bone. So let me click him in right now.
Hello.
Hello. Hey.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
All right.
How you doing, John?
I'm doing good. How are you feeling tonight?
I could be a little bit better. It's a little bit under the weather, but I'll be all right. This show always pumps me up.
Well, I'm pumped up to be here tonight. I was listening to some of them names you were hollering at. I was like, oh, okay, I'm in some good company.
Yes, God is good, yes. I can't believe it sometimes myself, you know, 12 years of doing this. Just never thought it would even be lasting that long because it wasn't like something I sought out to do. So it just like fell into me because I had so many friends in media at the time. But I am so grateful to be able to interview people like you. So, yes.
That's good. Well, I'm well, it's good to be here. And it's also, as well, is to get my interview on. And I was thinking of one of the questions you were going to ask me, and I didn't think of it until just now. But I'm going to wait on that question.
So tell me a little bit about your upbringing, you know, like, you know, what compelled you or inspired you to go into this field of comedy?
I think like most comedians, you it starts at home, and then you have the grown ups that used to listen to the party albums, the Red Fox and the Wild Man Steve and Richard Pryor, and then me, my mom grew up as a Baptist. That means she went to church from Sunday to Monday. I used to say that my mom used to pray so much, I saw Jesus back in the day at Radio Shack getting an answer machine. I had a family member who said to me one time, he says, "Man, you ever heard about Richard Pryor?" And I was like, "No." And he looked at me like, "What you mean you never heard about Richard Pryor?" And then his next thing he said to me was, like every person said to that child, "Listen, don't let your mama hear this."
Okay. You know what I mean? I know that's right.
So my mom in there making biscuits, wondering why her son in there cracking up, but she can't hear nothing. What he laughing about?
Right.
So it was growing up with variety TV. I think being a comic, being a child in the '70s was great. Because it gave you an opportunity to see the ones that came before the Eddie Murphys, the Flip Wilsons, the Timothy Wright.
Mm-hmm.
There's a comedian that I learned about named Timothy Wright. If you ever seen him, he's been on a lot of those shows that came on back then. That's My Mama, Sanford and Son, and so forth. I bring up his
name. Okay.
A lot of people used to think that it was Dick Gregory. That was the first comic to cross over, and it wasn't. It was a gentleman by the name of Timothy Wright.
Timothy Wright
came around before Dick Gregory, and he was the first black comic to actually talk. Comedians back then were not allowed because of Jim Crow to talk to the audience like the Milton Berles and the Bob Hopes, you know.
We had to do it.
When you saw the comedians doing the tandems, the comics like Stephen Fetchin and them doing all that, they had to address each other. It was against the law, and he was the first one. So I learned from those guys, and what you can do with this thing called comedy and be successful at it—not just telling jokes, but singing and dancing and entertaining. So.
Okay.
That's how I started.
I understand. And so getting to the topic, what was your funniest or worst fight that you had growing up?
I got to ask you this. Can I also answer this if it's not me, but it was the funniest fight that I've ever?
Okay.
I think it was about 1976. I was in elementary school. I was a little black kid in Hartford, Connecticut, being bussed out into Farmington school system, being sheltered by black Baptist woman, Maybelle Hinton, and my father coming from the segregated South of North Carolina in 1954. The way they raised me, I never seen a breast before.
Never. You never saw what?
And I never seen a breast before in 1975. I saw a breast for the first time in 1975 during a fight at the bus stop.
Okay.
These two sisters
say it wasn't me. No, I was too young, so it wasn't
me.
Oh,
no, no. I don't know if it was your first. I don't know if that first thing was yours, but I know one time. Man, I don't remember who won. I remember that the titty popped out, and Fred was trying to stuff it back in, and she was saying to all the little boys and girls, and we were all oohing and eyeing, y'all act like y'all ain't never seen no titty before. And you see my little black fingers. I raised my hand. I ain't never seen one. A month and a half, my mom used to wonder why I was at the bus stop an hour and a half before the bus supposed to come. I was looking I was looking forward to another fighting titty.
Right.
I'll never forget that day. That was the first fight I seen in some popped out. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can understand that. I have been embarrassed in that way. I had to be like 9, had a fight with this girl who was way older than me, who wouldn't leave me alone. I was in my front of my own house, and she lived near me. That's what made it so bad. And she pulled my shirt up, but when my shirt pulled up, my bra pulled up. So here I am with my breast out, and I was only 9, but I was I had enough for somebody to see, okay? Mm-hmm. And it was so embarrassing. And I ran upstairs, and I said, Mom, somebody's having a fight. And so she said, who? Who's having a fight? Get your butt in this house. I said, me. Oh, my God, I got bawled out because my shirt was ripped. She was like, what is wrong? What's going on? So I get it. You definitely had an eye full at that moment, I'm sure.
And it had some Vaseline on it because, you know, back in the neighborhood.
Oh, Lord.
So you seen one breast with some Vaseline on it.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Nobody in the hood knows you had some Vaseline. Vaseline, you know, in the hood, Vaseline for everything.
Right.
I'm trying to fry fish with Vaseline. I'm like, get your ass out of the kitchen. Can't fry no fish.
Oh, God.
Bluegill on top of that. The dumbest fish in the world. Anyway.
Well, you mean to tell me she ain't had the Crisco on the stove that had been used the week prior that she just kept dipping in until it got brown?
You ever bring a white person over into the kitchen? They're like, oh my God, aren't you afraid of a grease fire? Because you got y'all the lard. We don't worry about grease fires, right? Before the house burn up, it's gonna burn up that shag rug that we got in every room.
Okay.
The shag rug.
Or them 1970 beads hanging down in the living room.
Can you dig it?
Okay.
Lord, I'm mercy. You had to have a velvet naked picture of some African stuff on the wall. You know, you can't,
absolutely.
You know, black woman with the afro.
I had it in my room. My mother wouldn't, she would not put that up nowhere. I could put it in my room as long as it wasn't naked. If it was velvet and glowed in the dark, she didn't mind. But it couldn't be naked.
My mom had a picture of Jesus in every room. You know what
God.
That one with the hand? The hand
yes.
up? And you think, you look at it long enough, you think Jesus is looking at you?
Yeah. Oh, my goodness, for real. That picture was at church. Yes.
that's not sad about churches. I used to go to my mom's church. It was like, what? You know, black church is like, what, 9 hours?
Yes.
Let us stand.
Oh, my God.
Let me tell you. In my church that we grew up in, you had to get there early if you wanted to see what the preacher looked like, because everybody there had that nice big church hat, about 4 feet long.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Hey, and you had that old lady that started a church song that nobody really wanted to sing, but she the elder.
Yes, oh my God.
Well, Lord, I believe. No one wanted to sing that.
Oh my goodness, for real. My grandmother had me in church every day. I think we went to church every single night, except for maybe on a Friday. No. Wasn't Friday night. Had to be a different night, but Friday we was in church. We ain't had no choice. We ain't had no choice.
You had to be
for real.
Yes. And on top of that, I remember at our church we had to get a lifeguard because you know the pastor was doing the baptism, but he was praying. You know when you pray, you pray. And he wasn't paying attention, man. Two people drowned. But
you silly.
What I think I do tell you about church is this. You're going to smell them. Hey, that old, them old people candy. Remember the peppermint? The old.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep.
To this day, I don't eat peppermint because of my mama.
Yeah, I don't like them either. I don't like them. Mm-mm. Or you get the butterscotch. If you was lucky, you get the butterscotch one.
what about the
tab
with the little vanilla in the middle? Is that the one
you
talking about? The yellow one
that was wrapped in like clear paper or something, clear plastic, and either get the butterscotch, or the mint, either one.
no matter which one you had a mouth full of cavities because it's either that you was eating or the orange slices.
Yes.
That was dipped in two kilos of sugar.
Yes. And then tell you to sit still. After you eat all that, then they tell you to sit still.
with kilo worth of sugar. I love
it is the truth.
Boston,
oh, my goodness.
Now later.
Certain things, like you said, I just won't eat because I had a little bit too much of it back then, and I don't like it now. So, mm-hmm. But in any case, I met you at the Metric, and I remember in the middle of your comedy, my friend reached over because my cane kept dropping, and then my shades dropped. And so she reached over to try to pick up my shades for me and fell out her seat. Onto the floor.
Oh yeah, that's right.
You remember that?
Yeah, I remember. She fell hard too.
Yeah. Yes.
You know what else I remember?
I couldn't pick her up because I was like, I'm gonna throw my back out. I can't do it.
Yeah. So she just laid there until they closed.
Yes.
Ain't nobody gonna help her up. It's like 2:00 in the morning. Anybody gonna help? Somebody got a pillow.
Like,
damn, you ain't gonna help her. That's just black people. We mind our own business.
Oh my God.
Cherie, we mind our own business. You know what I mean?
Right.
Hand on the floor.
I'm like, what? This is the second time this happened, though. This is the second time. Okay.
That she fell?
The first time it was she slipped on beer that she dropped.
Well, maybe the wrong person got the cane.
Exactly.
Maybe she needs her own
cane. I'm like, no. All right. And then you took it, instead of getting aggravated, you took it and turned it into the joke. And I was like, I'm about to choke that night because you started mimicking her and you slid off the, I think it was like a stool that was there. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she slid. James Brown couldn't slide like that. If James Brown
for
like,
real,
you did it. Well, you in the black hole. That's long. That's amazing.
said, my friend Yo-Yo was like, is anybody going to help this girl? She just sitting there. My Asian sister helped her up, and I was like, thank God, because ain't no way in hell I could pick this big blind girl up, and she ain't even fat. But you have a style that's to you that I really enjoyed that night, because you just was upbeat. You was picking things out of the audience and just having fun with us, and I love that.
I don't take joy in having somebody come to a show and feeling worse than when they came in. I think a comic's
right.
job is to make that person feel better than when they came
right.
in, even just for a minute, because you don't know their circumstances. You know what I mean?
True.
And there are people that's going through so many things. So for me, I think that, nobody wants to sit in the front because they're afraid of the comic, or nobody wants to be engaging because they're afraid of the comic. I don't believe in the mean.
I'm not afraid. I sit right there in the front, right next to that microphone.
You know what I'm saying?
Look right in your mouth.
See what kind of dental plan they have, huh? You look at their mouth.
Exactly.
You know, before I had Obamacare, I used to tell people straight up, I voted for Obama not because of when he brought me the first black president. Obama got my eye fixed.
Okay.
I was cockeyed before Obama. I used to be the host and invite somebody up. I said, coming to the stage, I look back. About 14 people looking at me. I'm like, what y'all doing? They're like,
okay.
Well, who are you looking at?
Right.
Well, come on.
All my girlfriends hated. They're like, why you got to sit in the front? I don't want to sit up there. I'm like, well, that's where I'm going. So if you want to sit with me, you're going to have to come to the front.
That's right. I think that's you know what? Yeah, Rosa Parks. First comedy show she went to, she said, I'm sitting in the front.
Okay.
That's right. Mom's Maple, you pull your ass up, though.
Oh, my goodness, stop. I can't think with me laughing like this.
Let me just tell you this. No, I always give love to my first black president, Barack Obama, because I remember, like, Obamacare. I had jumped on that, and you don't know how bad it is when you ain't got no insurance, especially black folks. We'll walk around and borrow other people's medication before we get our own. You know what I mean? I had a dental plan at one time called Chew on the Other Side.
You ever heard of
a dental plan called Chew on the Other Side? That was my dental plan. Ow!
That's what I'm doing right now.
My dad didn't even have any teeth. I used to sit there and look at him like, you ate a whole ear of corn. That's what they used to do in Carolina. Hey, can I just tell you this?
He was
quick,
gumming it, huh?
Oh, he was gumming the hell out. Can I tell you this real quick? I gotta tell you this real quick. So around that time, after I seen that fighting breath, right? Around that era, I'm sitting there. They used to be the store in the neighborhood where I grew up at, called Treasure City. They used to have this magazine. You go in there, you look at the back of the magazine. They had all the gold carts. And I knew I couldn't afford the gold cart growing up in Hartford, but I used to, like, look at the page. I don't know how, because I was probably, like, 6 or 7 years old. But one particular day, I happened to be looking at the magazine. It had to be, like, 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon. The sun is gleaming through the window. I'm sitting there with some shorts on, and my mom walked by. And I said, hey, Mom. She said, hey, baby. And look down. I'm going to tell you what I meant, but it wasn't the Treasure City magazine I had, all right? I don't know how I got it mixed up, but I'm sitting there looking at some naked white women on this magazine.
Oh, no.
Sitting on rocks. Yeah. Oh, right in front of my mother. We're talking about
So she's like, hey, baby. I said, hey, John John. I said, hey, mama. She walks, what in the heck? Where you get this book? Oh, it's with the go-kart. Ain't no go-kart in this book. I didn't know where I got it. I'll be honest
right.
with you. But I know one thing.
Right.
There was only three people that lived in that house. My mother, who I told you went to church from Sunday
right.
to Monday, me, and my daddy.
Yeah.
All I remember is my mom in the room talking about, oh, so you don't know how the book got here, huh? Maybe I don't know how that book got here. I don't know nothing. And I just thought, that is my father escaped the violence and the Jim Crow laws of Raleigh, North Carolina, and came up here to make a better life for himself in 1954 so he could see some white women on a rock.
My mother
said, I tell you what, he gonna try to blame it on me. My father never told where that came from. I didn't know either, but I know one thing. My mother said straight up, let another book come here one time. You understand me? After she came out the room, I said, Ma, can I get my book back? She said, go sit your ass outside somewhere. You ain't getting this book.
Okay. Okay. Wow. But, you know, I know you have a lot of, situations, things that, occurred in your life. But what do you call it when you, what type of style is it called when you take not just what happened with you, but you kind of assess the room and you pull jokes from that as well? What is that called?
For me, I'm blessed. I'm blessed because I always speak and pay homage to my mom, the Reverend Maybelle Hinton, who I was blessed to take care of until I laid her to rest in 2006. And because she didn't know, she didn't know anything about college. She had a third grade, at that time, Negro education. She quit picking cotton, which is another form of slavery, if you know anything that pertains to
cotton. Absolutely.
But one thing she instilled in me is that you're gonna have put God first. You're gonna get an education that's best for you. Because again, I had an opportunity to go to farm day. It was called Project Concern back then. And this helped me have not just an inner city view on life and music and culture. But it gave me an opportunity from kindergarten throughout my high school years to see different life of people that didn't look like me, that didn't worship like me. So growing up in Hartford, it was one big melting pot. There was times where I lived in a predominantly Hispanic community. There was times where it was also Blue Hills Avenue, where it was a large West Indian population. Growing to school in Farmington from kindergarten, learning life and music and culture out there. And then here's the key. I had a strong black woman that had classic home values, traditional values. Only wore pants when she went fishing. So growing up in church. So that's how my comedy is shaped, from the elders who helped raise me, from people that didn't look like me growing up in the school setting, from, you notice that the DJ there at Matrix was Dominican. So I said to him, ah, tu hablas español? He said, un poquito. I said, boy, man, you notice how I translated what we were talking about.
I don't remember that part, but Juan Kuhn is the one that's in charge as far as the music, and the guy helps him on Wednesday. And then I think sometimes it's him or another black dude, and, they switch up back and forth between those two, but Juan is the one that usually is, I don't know if he's training them, I have no idea, but...
Well,
I remember you sliding off that daggone stool, and that's what caught me. That's what caught me. That was just right there. It was downright hilarious. So that's why I was asking you, how do you pull from what you see in the audience, well, you know, is there a particular name for that, or is it just something that some comedians do?
There's some comedians that are just scripted. There's certain comics that they can go off script, but they mostly stay to their routine, the Chris Rocks, you know, and so forth. But then there's other comics that I grew up watching, the Richard Pryors, you know, the Flip Wilsons, you know, and those kind of things, Dick Gregory. So you learned a dozen. You learn how to go back and forth growing up, you know, you playing the dozens and so forth. So that alone is just like those hip-hop artists that grew up learning poetry and talking about what's going on in their community. It becomes like muscle memory to be able to pick something out and joke on it and so forth. You look at some of our greatest comics, they are great actors as well. Kevin Hart's only been
absolutely. Yes.
Growing up in Philly. But why is he so funny? Naturally funny, because you can either be upset that you're short and that you da-da-da-da-da, or you can just turn it into, height has nothing to do with the gift that God gave me.
That's right.
And I think
that's right.
I think that's where I come from, to be able to say to myself, confidence is not, I know they're going to like me. It's, I'm going to be okay, because this is a gift
right.
that God gives me to, you know, has allowed me to borrow and to share until my last breath. I keep that in mind
yes.
when I go out there. So my mind is free to create and to play off of different people from different walks of life that happen to come in there and sit down for an hour and a half, 2 hours, and get their last one. So I draw from the energy
right.
of the crowd, and I just bring everybody into my world.
And that's what basically, if you're naturally funny, that's what you do on the regular anyway. You know, at least I know that's what I've been doing all my life. You know, with friends, family. You come to our family reunion, if you don't tell jokes, you just better sit there quietly and don't have nothing to say, because if you do anything stupid, we're going to keep cracking on you all night long. That's just
exactly.
That's just my mother's side of the family. You know, up here we just are very comical. We love to laugh. So that's something
mm-hmm.
that's already in us, you know. But I just was curious, being that you are a seasoned comedian, to know if that was something, was a thing. Was that like a name or something that people, you know, learn to do or something like that?
Well, when you first start off, any club you go to, they want you to get like 5 minutes. Put your best material first. The majority of the things that I learned from this guy who was a booker at this place called the Comic Strip. Now, this is the person, his name was Lucian. So, and anybody that has been doing comedy for over 20, 25 years, especially in New York, they know who this person is. He's the one that was there to give the green light for Chris Rock, Adam Sandler, and all over in New York. The one thing that he said to me was, what about you? You're funny, but what about you? Talk about you. What makes you you? Because no matter what, nobody can impersonate you and
That's
your
right.
life and what you've gone through. So I would encourage
True.
Comics to take that advice that I took, which is learn, talk the history of yourself, where you came from, and talk about you. Because that's how shows are created, if you want to go that route, that everybody.
Oh, yeah. I got some ideas for some shows, because I'm a writer and I've done a lot of acting. I definitely got some shows about my great-grandparents who raised me. They were the funniest. I mean, I almost got shot with a shotgun by my grandfather at 7. I mean, so they were just out of their minds together. My grandfather's alcoholic, so my grandmother went to church constantly, but my grandfather was a deacon. But, you know, so I got so much material I could do just on those two people alone. For real.
Yeah.
So I understand what you're saying.
Black folks have a common history, right? It doesn't matter where you came from. We have a common history. And the more that you learn and know about yourself, you can speak upon that you know, when we talk. If you look at Tyler Perry, a lot of those characters, my mom was Madea before Madea. He happened to be able to get it right from the plays and go from city to city, from state to state, come back and put it into a movie, another play. A lot of those characters have survived throughout the years because a lot of those characters are our uncles, our aunties, Big Mama, the one on the grill that can't speak. You know what I mean? Like, we that's us, because all we had was Jesus growing up. So I learned, I didn't think I was funny. You ready for this? I didn't think I was truly funny until I started talking about myself and my family. That's when I think personally. I mean, I had a lot of jokes. People were laughing. But to me, I didn't think my personal life was funny. I got it wrong.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I did a joke one time at a college. I had some family members that was there. That was like one of the, I didn't even know they was there. I brought up some jokes on my mom and her at tag sales and how embarrassing it was, you know. And, you know, like, they were laughing. And then when I saw them afterwards, they said, that joke you said about your mom and how only something was 5 cents and she trying to get it for one penny or free and how this and that and so forth. I didn't realize any of those things was funny until I actually spoke upon it. That's when I started doing research on myself and family, and then I started going back into how are my childhood days growing up. It was like,
fish
grease, the TV, the big TV that didn't work with the little TV on top.
Yes, and the aluminum foil with the antenna.
I think we all had one of them, you know. And, you know, like I said, the shag rug, the beads, you know, the sewer jam. You know,
oh, my goodness.
And because they have what is called a home away from home. You know, you live in the inner city, you go out there in the suburbs, you go to school in the suburbs, they find a family that you're already close to with their kid. And then, you know, when there's something that's going on out there, you can spend a night. It's like a home away from home. So the gentleman's name was Jay. Jay's mother, so I stayed out at Jay's house in Farmington whenever we had something going on. Come home the next day. You ready for this? So Jay's mother one night said to me, "Hey John, would you like some bubble bath?" And I'm like, "What? Bubble bath? What's bubble bath, Mrs. Ness?" So she showed me. She said, "You just run the water. Here's the little bubble." She took the top off. Boom. She poured it in there. The water started bubbling up. I'm in there. I'm in the tub 2 hours. I ain't never had bubble bath before. I go home, I tell my mama, "Can I have me some bubble bath?" She said, "Bubble bath?" I said, "Yeah, I was at Jay's house, and this is what Jay did. Jay's mother had some bubble bath, and I told her what happened." She said, "Baby, mama got some bubble bath. Go in there and take your clothes off." I'm not lying when I say this. I'm butt naked in the tub. My mom came in there with a big box of Tide.
She took it way too far. I can see the dishwashing liquid, because I think a lot of us can relate to the dishwashing liquid. But a box of Tide, she took it there.
Well, see, first of all, we was poor. We couldn't afford dishwashing liquid. So, all right, my mom only had in the house what she knew worked when she was born back in 1912. Ivory soap.
Okay.
Ivory soap. Oh, boy, get that liquid soap out of here and go get that ivory soap. That's that good soap.
I love ivory soap. Hey, oh, my God.
What? You get that ivory soap. Hey, you ever have an old person get something that a white person gave to them? They find it's precious. Hey, you see that right there? I got that from a white lady.
Oh, God. Oh, yes. I lived in a house where my grandmother, she worked for rich white people, and she thought that they was family, honey. I couldn't stand when she talked about them. But the woman sent her money every year. And when she didn't get that check, boy, oh, boy, she knew something was up. She called down there. But I usually get a check every year. And then she had a mirror that they had given her, a couch, they had given her. I mean, I despised it every time she talked about stories of white people. I really did, because she thought she was getting such great treatment.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at it as, you know, slave mentality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. That's how I looked at it, too. I didn't, I didn't look at it back
that's
then.
That's what annoyed me.
you grew up in a house and your mom worked for rich white folks. I grew up in an apartment and my mom worked for broke white folks. So,
oh, God.
Yeah. We didn't get you. My mom one time, we were coming home one time, and they had a little white lady had a little horse that she was, like, letting people get a little horse ride, so for 50 cents. So my mom let me ride the little horse that the white lady had in the back of the McDonald's. I rode, like, a dollar's worth. So, you know me, I didn't realize I grew up in the city. I said, Mommy, can we have a horse? My mom looked at me with a straight face and said, I'll see what the lady wants. I look back now.
Knowing she was lying.
Yeah, lying dead in my face. He ain't no damn horse. And north in the hospital. Fuck Jordan Phil Street.
Okay. My goodness.
My
but look, we didn't have no house. We was in an apartment too, because my grandfather drank the house money up. So there was no house. There was just bottles after bottles after bottles embedded into the earth that he had put there over 50 years. That was what we had.
Well, we ain't had no. Hey, our driveway wasn't paved, but my mom still bought me Evel Knievel.
Okay, I remember him. Oh my God,
you know Evel Knievel?
Yes, I had to dial.
You had to dial.
I had to die with
no paved driveway. folks, y'all that's listening, Google or go on YouTube and look up Evel Knievel. Now, you're talking about white privilege. This man made more money, and all he did was crash. That's it.
I love that man when I was
little. I did, too.
Yep.
I had an Evel Knievel car, right? They made a replica when he tried to jump the Grand Canyon and crashed.
Yep, with a little motorcycle. Yep.
In the Astrodome in Detroit, he crashed into. I looked at it, I said, he's famous. Now, see, that's white folks for you. They control the narrative. All he did was crash.
He
broke every bone.
Remember, he tried to jump
over the casino.
I don't remember it that well. I used to watch it on TV, though.
And he clapped.
Always.
He made more money. He had a T-shirt. I said, see, I look back. I crack up now. But I look back. I said, man, white folks was something else. They put this dude out there, and all he did was crash and make money crashing.
Make money crashing. If it was a black man, he would have to jump. He would have to ride over a building, okay? Jump over a building and not crash in order for him to be famous. But that's just the way it was back then. We didn't have much to look at when we was little.
We didn't have much.
You know.
Cartoons was over at 11:30.
Okay.
We didn't have no cartoon channel.
Exactly. Do you know where your children are? Come on at 10 o'clock on almost every channel. And we had 13 channels, so you better choose which one you want to get, because you ain't have much to choose from. That was it.
I love Evel Knievel. I look back and ask myself why. When Elvis died, I love me some Elvis, knew all the songs.
Mm-hmm.
I look back now and be like, really? Really, man? Really?
Okay.
The King of Rock.
Exactly. Cried when he died. And especially watching the black and white movie. And then my mother was like, I don't even know why you like him. He was prejudiced anyway. Oh, my God. That's all she had to say. I mean, you talking about brokenhearted.
Mm-hmm. I learned a little about Elvis. Mm-hmm. And the thing was, I'll just say this real quick. I think that was a narrative because they tried to find where Elvis had either used the N-word or said, what you've heard, the only thing that a black person could do for him is shine his shoes, and they couldn't find one quote. And I think what it came from was disgruntled black male artists who were getting their songs ripped off and coming around and singing and doing splits and twirling like the James Browns and like the Little Richards and the Sam Cooks, and still can't get a break, still just getting
right.
Car, you know what I mean?
Right.
And to me, the dopest person of all time was Ray Charles.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, regardless of his drug addictions, he was always on point. He said, I'm going to keep my catalogs. And he did it in such a way where he may not have had
very
that Michael Jackson, you know, but he was very smart. Think about this. When you at a basketball game and a person foul out, they're singing his song. Hit the road, Jack. Don't you come back no more. You know, America,
absolutely.
Georgia, the one that banned him from Georgia. So we've had some dope artists that was scared to speak ill will about the Elvis Presleys back then because, you know, they were scared. And if you heard an interview with Ray Charles, he said, yeah, I'm going to get me in trouble. But what was he the king of?
Right.
Everything that we were doing it way. We always have to shine. You ever notice black people just dope in general, whether it's acting.
Yes, they. No matter what they do.
No matter what we do, we put our minds forward to it. We can build things. We can create things. We can become. We are dope. We are the originals of doing it. So I learned a lot from the pandemic. When comedy was shut down, I started relearning about myself, my people, where we came from. The original sin in 1619, Jim Crow, what Martin Luther King was really trying to say to us. He was preaching to the choir. It was 90% white
right.
back then. He wasn't talking to us. He was talking to white folks, you know? So I learned a lot about that, and then now I'm able to incorporate, because if you're on stage now doing comedy and you can't talk about something or some kind of substance, it's going to show. And people are going to turn you off.
Yes. My last one was about Jim Crow. I put the ED on the end because the grandmother character I do says she knew him from when he was little. And then I started talking about Biden and Kamala. I did a little mix up of that and my ghetto character, Charmaine Carter. So I love doing characters because acting is in me, you know. And so I hope my dream in life one day is to do my own life story on the big screen. So I hope that comes to fruition. But it has been a pleasure talking to you. I let the show go over because I've enjoyed our conversation. Where will you be at next so people can support you or come see you? Do you have any gigs coming up?
Well, right now, what I'm doing is I have a show down at – this is promoter Johnny Benson, and he's a really good dear friend of mine. And, you know, what we're doing is we have this comedy show that's coming up where I'm going to be performing in the June 24th, which is coming up this Friday. And it's myself, comedian Dave Sheehan, and it's at this place called the I can't even think of it right now. My head is – I'm so deep into what we were talking about.
Well, they can go to your Facebook page, right?
They can go to my Facebook page, Instagram, at MaxJulian007, YouTube, John Cleveland Hinton. Just hit me up on Facebook, John C. Hinton, and I'm definitely out there. I just finished doing Funny Bones with a really dear friend of mine, Marsha Brandon, up in Manchester. So things are opening up right
so
now for me.
Okay, haven't been there yet. Okay. All right. Wonderful.
Yeah.
I appreciate your time. The conversation was so good. I wish you all the best. Hope that I can see you doing comedy soon. And you stay in touch with me. And it was a pleasure. Is there any last minute thing you want to say real quick?
I just want to say this. I feel really blessed being here tonight. I look forward to being on here again with you. My message has always been the same since this pandemic. Don't matter what side of the political aisle you on or who you look at, just do this one thing to make this world a better place, and that is do good. So that's always been my message now at the end of the show. Just do good. Just do good.
Yes.
My lady and I were just talking. I'm going to just say this. The couple was just shot and killed here in Hartford just yesterday over an argument over a dog. We're in a time right now where everything is like the value of life, the value of everything, and then the cancel culture and so forth. If we go back to just doing good, pay it forward, let somebody in that's part to pull out on the road, keep the door open. Even if, you know what I mean? And do good. That's it. That's my message.
That's all.
Do good.
And thank you so much. I appreciate it. You have a blessed night. And hopefully I will be able to book you again before the year is out.
Look forward to it. Take care.
Okay.
I appreciate you.
All right. God bless.
All right now.
Bye-bye.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
And there you have it. That was John Hinton, comedian. Been in the game for a very, very long time. I do want to read 1 John 1-9. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so being a Christian is not saying that I don't do wrong. It's saying that I know where I can go. I know who I can commune with and talk to because I know that I am not perfect, and I know that I will make mistakes, and I have made mistakes. And we don't try to live in sin. We know who to acknowledge. We know that Christ died for our sins, for the remission of our sins, and his blood covers us. And so that's what that's about. It's not saying, look, hey, you know, you're the worst thing, you know, that I ever encountered. It's saying, look, you know what I mean? With all that's going on, it ain't going to hurt for you to give your life over to Christ. And we strive to be better every day. And that's what John is talking about. So if you could do that, that's wonderful. You know what I'm saying? It's never too late to turn over a leaf. One thing I can't stand is to see an old hateful person, you know? And, it's like, wow, you know, like what have you learned in all your decades of being on this earth, you know? And, you know, when are you going to turn over a new leaf, you know, I'm saying, to help somebody else? I just don't like seeing that. You know, I was raised by my great-grandmother and grandmothers along with my mother. And I know that if it wasn't for my grandmothers being in my life and picking the slack up where my mother couldn't do, I wouldn't even be here. So, you know, and my great-grandmother, although she did get mad, she was the sweetest woman I ever knew and supported me in every idea I ever had, whether crazy or not. If I wanted to sing, she supported it. If I wanted to act, she supported it. She did what she could do so that I could go places, and she saw something in me that I didn't know was even there, and I appreciate that. I do want to say, if you've got, find in your heart, God lays it on your heart to support monetarily, you can donate. My Cash App and PayPal is up there. You can buy my books, 19 books published. You can buy some art. I think I have about 30 or more pieces that's up on the website. I didn't put my recent one up there yet. But in any case, if you'd like to book yourself on this show, me doing spoken word that I rarely do anymore, comedy, being an MC, I do many, many things and incapable of doing many things by the grace of God. So you can book me for so much. And I'm going to just finish reading a few of these names, people who have graced this show, and people I've interviewed in media as a reporter over the years. I'm just going to name a few of those because there's too many to even recognize. But Vicki Winans, Pastor Shirley Caesar, Donnie McClurkin, Mighty Clouds of Joy, Jennifer Holliday, Damian Marley, Little John, Sierra, Little Bo, Elephant Man, Terry Crews, Mary, Bobby Valentino, and more. Those have been on the shows, Frankie Brady, Elder Savanda Gaskew, Pamela Wright, Spencer Camp, Kaylin Jackman, Amari Daniel Bay, Jennifer Armistead, Robert Williams of Blue Magic, Jazzy Matt, Dr. Jamal Bryant, Jamaica Morrison, Ernest Richards, Michael Jones, Denzel Williams, Gina Blaze, Connie Johnson. She was teaching me to produce, co-produce on her radio show back when I started this show on 88.5. Lamar Taylor, James Fountain, Lisa Mellers, Jeanette Zacks, David Davis, Anthony E. Brown Jr., Ernest Arnell Grant, Brian DeCauzy, Doremius Williams, Matt Jones, Sheena Bailey, Pearl Bailey's granddaughter. Let me go to the front here. Melba Moore, CeCe Peniston, J.J. Harrison, Christopher Williams, Bernard Jackson of Surface, my former mentor when I was singing back in the day. Doobie Powell, Curtis Blow, Stacey Ladisaw Jackson, Glenn Jones, The Green Violinist, Tony Redd, Darren Cookie Moore, Calvin Richardson, Wendell B., J.D. Lawrence, Marcel Lashley Davies, Richmond Punch, Carmichael, The Music Lover, and many, many, many more. Thank you so much for all your support on this show. I am going to take us out with Proud of Me by Angie Stone. Just want to send shout outs to everybody that's listening. King the Barber, I will be playing your music for another broadcast. And I hope that you all can support his music. He is on Facebook, I believe. But listen to the last show where he was on. I believe it was the last show. And he tells you how to reach out to him if you like any of his music. And once again, Proud of Me by Angie Stone.
Gonna change. Oh, there's no need in me staying here.